Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Continuation of Wide Receiver Week here on the Prospects and Props Podcast. Chris Schubert, Jamie Eisner here with you once again on the show. If you missed it yesterday, wide receivers 105 through 65. Deep dive into some of the more notable rankings and notable players in those tiers. Today we get closer and closer to the top of this list. It is wide receivers 64 all the way through 26. And then on tomorrow's show, it is the top 25 wide receivers. So we have you covered here all week long for Wide Receiver Week. And Jamie, I said it yesterday, I'm going to say it again today. We've got a lot of names to get through, a lot of conversations to be had. So let's get through this and let's get started very, very quickly here. We've got the group here that is still in the 60s. Sky Moore at 64, Jacoby Myers at 63, Zay Jones at 62, Romeo Dubs at 61, and Jackson Smith and Jigba at wide receiver 60. That's probably the name that we should start with, Jamie. You are lower than both ECR and ADP when it comes to Jackson Smith and Jigba. But longtime listeners of this show are not going to be surprised at this because we've talked about the year one impact for Jackson Smith and Jigba and how you and I are both concerned of where he's going to slot into this pecking order, an offense that's probably going to prioritize running the football. Mm-hmm. And that might mean for a guy who was wide receiver one to a lot of people in this draft class may not be able to have that level of impact in year one of his NFL career.
Yeah, and that's really what it centers around. I mean, he was the wide receiver one for me in this draft class as well. So I am one of those, quote unquote, those people, Chris, which I don't believe we use that phrase anymore. But it's definitely just, again, a volume thing. And, you know, are you projecting Lockett or Metcalf to miss a significant amount of time? I'm not sure that you are. You know, Seattle, in terms of, you know, a projected pass attempts per game, they come in as the 19th for me in the NFL. So slightly below average where they come in. DK is going to get a lot of work. Tyler Lockett's going to get a lot of work. And both those guys are going to eat up a large amount of a target share for a team that's going to throw the ball around 33-ish times per game. So I just don't see a clear path for JSN this year to have a lot of sustained fantasy success unless one of those guys get hurt. And if he does and he elevates into that number two role, then there'll be plenty of work for him to have success. But, you know, right now with his ADP, which is, as I take a look at this, it's what, 37?
That's good math, Jamie. Yes.
That's pretty good math on the fly there. Like, wide receiver 37, yeah. I mean, that's borderline wide receiver three territory. I mean, a wide receiver 37 is probably your flex starter, and I'm not ready to play JSN as an every week flex right now with the other two guys healthy.
Well, Jimmy, he might also be the fourth pass catching option in that offense. Noah Fant's still around. He's still going to be their tight end. They're still going to utilize the running backs pretty heavily. And so, like, I just can't get there. To say his ADP is wide receiver 37, which means you're strongly considering him to be your wide receiver three, or in the case of being in a two wide receiver league, you're considering him as one of your top flex options. I don't know, man. I can't get on board with that to start the season. Maybe by the midway point when we see the usage, we can change our tune. But we've got to do we have to make these rankings. At least you do, and I have to make my opinions on this based on the information that I have. And the information I have is DK Metcalf still going to be the wide receiver one. Tyler Lockett's still going to be involved. This is a team that is going to prioritize running the football. It's just who they are. This isn't the Kansas City Chiefs where they're going to sling it around all over the place. And so those things mean, listen, we like Jackson Smith and Jigba. We think he's going to be a good player.
Yes.
But for fantasy, year one, I don't see the impact. I just can't get there. And so
no, he's draftable. Sure. Like he's draftable, but I just, to me, it's you're trying to buy him here at a value where you expect to start him more often than not. And I just don't see that happening unless you are going to have an injury.
And if you're in a dynasty league, he's going to be one of the top names that come off the board because you're going to stash him for down the road. Again, I don't know what the year one impact looks like for JSN, but for redraft leagues, yeah, I'm kind of staying away from JSN here for 2023. Jamie, I mean, Sky Moore might be an interesting conversation to be had here in this group as well. I think people are trying to make Sky Moore a thing.
Like Sky Moore, the player, I just, as we talked about a little bit when we discussed the Rashee Rice conversation on yesterday's show, is just that I don't know what his long-term look is right now in this offense. There are a lot of mouths to feed. None of them are particularly, outside of Travis Kelce, really stand out as an elite option. I think he's somebody that's worth taking a flyer on in this range if you're looking for a wide receiver five, but I can't sit here with any level of confidence and project his workload and give you, say this is a guy that's going to have a lot of success. And I know we're all looking to find that second piece of this Kansas City passing game that is not Travis Kelce to have a monster amount of success. And it could be Sky Moore. If I had to bet on one receiver of this group, it's going to be Kadarius Toney. But I think we could just be in another season where it's this entire receiving core is just fine. And it's really just Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes that are putting up the stupid numbers. And everybody else is kind of peaks and valleys, ebbs and flows. And you look up at the end of the year and you're like, man, I wasn't really confident starting any of these other guys on any given week. And that's kind of what I'm worried about is going to happen again this year in Kansas City.
One of the fun things about being in the role that I am in on this show is while Jamie is talking, I get to set up what we're going to talk about next. I am looking ahead towards the names that we are seeing. And just so everybody knows, these rankings have been on thedraftnetwork.com. But I have made a very concerted effort to not look at these until we do the show, looking at those specific tiers to give a natural reaction. And when players surprise me with their rankings, it makes for fun conversation. I just looked at the next chunk of players we're going to talk about. We might be here for a while. So I'm going to read the list and then okay. I'll get into some of the line items that I have here. KJ Osborne at 59, Nico Collins at 58, Zay Flowers at 57, Michael Gallup 56, Quentin Johnston 55, Odell Beckham Jr. 54, Rashad Bateman 53, Robert Woods 52, Tyler Boyd 51, and Donovan Peoples-Jones 50. Jamie, I got three paths that we could go
to. Ooh, I get to pick the door again.
Like door one, two, or three?
Door two.
Door two. Let's discuss how you are much higher than everybody else on Robert Woods, and this allows us to once again have a conversation.
He's not dead.
About the Houston Texans wide receiver room.
He's not dead. Like, he's just in Houston. And he's just, I mean, I know a lot of people think there's nothing left for Robert Woods to offer. I am not willing to go there yet. And I think you're going to need, a proverbial you. In this case, CJ Stroud is going to need a reliable short to intermediate passing game option to rely on. And I think that's going to be Robert Woods. I think he can get 100 targets this year in that offense when they're going to throw it a bunch, and he's still going to have some fantasy value. I know things didn't look great at times last year, but I think he's a little bit healthier now, and he's going to get the opportunity. You know, I mean, he has a different skill set than Nico Collins. He has a different skill set than Tank Dell, a different skill set than even John Metchie, and seeing how we don't know how much John Metchie's going to play this year. So to me, I think if you're looking for a veteran option, a veteran safety blanket for CJ Stroud to rely on, why can't it be Robert Woods? And why can't, with that sort of target potential volume, he's going to put up decent numbers. You're not going to be excited. Like, nobody's going to pat you on the back when you draft him. It's not like, oh my God, I got Robert Woods, I'm so excited. But I think you're going to look up and you're going to realize that he's going to be in the conversation for you of, hey, maybe this guy I might want to play this week in this matchup more often than not. And, you know, I have him again, wide receiver 52 right now. He's being drafted as the wide receiver 86 in ADP, which is barely draftable. I mean, you can make the argument he's the wide receiver one in Houston. You could. You could.
He might be. I have a question for you, Jamie.
Yeah.
Is this offense that he's going to find himself in 2023 better than the one that he was on last year with the Tennessee Titans?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then there's your answer. He was coming off a major injury. I think
he's a bad fit.
is a bad fit. He's on a better offense. Like, yeah. that's the case you make to buy in on Robert Woods.
Yeah.
Is I think the 2023 Houston Texans offensively are better than the 2022 Tennessee Titans. Now, they're at the bottom of the totem pole, right?
It's not a great list to be on,
but they're better.
I'm not convinced that Robert Woods is cooked yet. I know a lot of people are, and the ranking reflects as such.
Door number three. You took the coward's way out, and I'm going to call you out on it. You put Rashad Bateman 53, you put Odell Beckham Jr. 54, and you put Zay Flowers 57.
You put
all within about three spots of one another.
Figure it out. That's because that's where they rank. Right now, I'm looking here, an average fantasy points per game between the three. I've got, and again, I probably don't have any of these guys projected as outside maybe Zay Flowers to play a full season, but where I have Odell Beckham Jr. 8.88. Rashad Bateman, 8.48, Zay Flowers was down at like 7.5. So like, this is kind of where they are.
Player. You have them all to like the same player.
Because they're differing skill sets. They're all good. And I think if they're all on the field, they're all going to get some work. They're all also going to lose target share to Mark Andrews. So, and quite frankly, they have some injury outside of Zay. They have some injury history that we have to at least be cognizant of. And I don't project Odell Beckham Jr. or Rashad Bateman to play 17 games. So I think you put all of those pieces together and you just kind of like, look, Chris, I've been honest with you. There are times where I rank people next to each other because it's the coward's way out. This is just kind of how it fell.
Yeah, but it does feel as if like because they're so closely ranked together, like, I don't know, do it. Pick whichever Baltimore wide receiver you think is going to have the best season. Go ahead, figure it out.
But, I mean, wouldn't you? Okay.
Can I share a take?
Do you feel overly strongly about one of them?
And yes, I do, based on the way you rank them. Here's the case that I would make. Because you have them all close, you have Bateman 53, OBJ 54, and Zay Flowers 57. I would take Zay at 50. I would take Zay over the other two. Because I think there's a bigger upside and they're close enough with their floors to me that I think that that would be a risk worth taking. It's not like talking about Rashad Bateman as wide receiver 26 and Zay Flowers wide receiver 57. We're not. They're close. And so I would take the guy that I think has the bigger upside.
I half agree and half disagree.
Love that.
I agree that Zay Flowers has more potential upside than Rashad Bateman. I don't think he has more potential upside than Odell Beckham Jr. The Odell Beckham Jr. roller coaster is something you have to decide whether or not you want to get on the board.
I can't get on that ride.
Because the upside is tremendous. The downside is tremendous. So, like, do you want to ride the roller coaster? And again, he's somebody these last few years, longtime listeners of the show will know, is somebody that I've chosen not to ride the roller coaster on. I feel like it's more often than not, it has worked out for me.
Door number one.
Yes.
Behind door number one is a gentleman that you and I stand for on a very, very regular basis. Donovan Peoples-Jones. Wide receiver 50. You are 11 spots higher than ADP, 10 spots higher than ECR. Tell the people why they are completely ignoring Donovan Peoples-Jones, who had a pretty good year last year.
He is someone that I've actually gotten a lot of shares of recently in my best ball drafts. He is somebody that I know kind of fell off the radar a little bit before last season, but we had heard that he had a connection with Deshaun Watson going back to basically Watson first getting to Cleveland. Obviously, he didn't play a lot early in the season, but had a glow up anyway, with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. And I say even with, I mean, Jacoby was the better quarterback last year for Cleveland, but you know what I mean. And so he is, in my estimation, the clear wide receiver two in Cleveland. He has shown a rapport with Deshaun Watson. He has grown as a player, and he is a guy that can produce his per target production is pretty high. And I also think he's a guy that's going to flirt with 90, 95 targets this year. And sure, you know, he's not going to have a ton of catches relatively. Like, I mean, he's not going to be a high catch percentage guy, but his yards per target is in the upper category. He has touchdown potential. And by the way, he flashed last season. This is not just, oh, I hope he shows something. I really like what he can do. And to me, him going outside the top 60 wide receivers right now is again, it's a little bit of what we talked about yesterday. There's this sense that Elijah Moore is coming in is just going to get all those targets. I'm not sure they will. They are very different players with very different skill sets, and I'm not convinced that we're going to see a massive chunk of DPJ's target share going to Elijah Moore. And I think that is the heart of this conversation, and the heart of the conversation that goes back to our show yesterday about Elijah Moore's ranking is that, or do you believe that it's Amari Cooper and then Elijah Moore, or Amari Cooper and then Donovan Peoples-Jones? I am in the latter category.
We are into the 40s, and we are firmly into the wide receiver four tier. I would say, Jamie, we're getting very close to that tier with this next chunk. Cortland Sutton, wide receiver 49, Rondale Moore at 48, Curtis Samuel at 47, Adam Thielen at 46, Michael Thomas at 45, Treylon Burks at 44, Van Jefferson at 43, Juju Smith-Schuster at 42, Jahan Dotson at 41, and Jordan Addison at 40. I mean, Jamie, we could spend 5 minutes talking about each one of these players, but we don't have enough time in the program for that. Players that stood out to me, and then I'll let you kind of pick from the group and have a conversation about Adam Thielen at 46, Michael Thomas at 45, Addison at 40, and Juju at 42 were players that immediately stand out to me as conversation starters.
Yeah, Adam Thielen, once again, I will remind everybody, is not dead. And I know he struggled at times last year. I know there's some injury concern that people have, but he's also shown to be a plenty competent complementary piece at wide receiver, even at this stage of his career.
Also, you may think, and this is the collective view, this is not Chris Schubert and Jamie Eisner, may think that Adam Thielen no longer has the talent or the ability to be a true wide receiver one in this league like we've seen in years past. But you cannot sit up here and tell me that if you look at the depth chart of wide receivers in Carolina, that he is not the de facto wide receiver one and the targets are going to go his way. And I think that's the important thing here.
And not only the targets going to go his way, but he is somebody that has excelled as a red zone wide receiver throughout his career, particularly in the last half decade of his career. So somebody that I like a lot more right now, he comes in as my wide receiver 46. He's going at 58 in ADP and ECR right now. The other names you brought up on this list, you know, Jordan Addison, the guy that essentially replaced him in Minnesota. We've talked about this. There's room for multiple wide receivers to have success. Justin Jefferson is going to be Justin Jefferson, but defenses are going to load up to stop him, and they're going to make Kirk Cousins and the Vikings use other weapons to beat them, which is going to open up opportunities for KJ Osborne, open up opportunities for TJ Hockenson, and open up opportunities for somebody that doesn't have a first name that's been shortened to two letters and two dots in Jordan Addison. And he's a first-round prospect, he's got a ton of potential. I know he didn't test super well, but I think he's got the opportunity at getting some decent volume. And I think that's always what you worry about with rookie receivers is, will they get the volume necessary? Where I think JSN is a better prospect, but I think we're going to see a significant difference in volume to the point where I think Jordan Addison can be a 100-target guy in Minnesota this year, just given how pass-happy this offense is going to be. And the fact that he's going to get a lot of one-on-one opportunities on the outside as Justin Jefferson commands a ton of attention.
We get into the 30s now, Jamie. Jerry Jeudy at 39, Kadarius Toney at 38, DJ Moore at 37, Mike Williams 36, Brandon Cooks 35, Deontay Johnson 34, Marquise Brown 33, George Pickens 32, current free agent DeAndre Hopkins 31, and Chris Olave 30. Jamie, please explain to everybody why you hate DJ Moore so much.
Oh, I can't believe this is why I don't hate Chris Olave.
We're going to get to that. You hate Chris Olave. Hate DJ Moore. You hate Jerry Jeudy. I
mean, this is the tier where I'm lower on pretty much everybody except, I guess, George Pickens and Brandon Cooks. The offense isn't good.
The Chicago Bears offense? Excuse me?
It's not that it's not only not that good.
And they're
it's
not the
volume
the
difference. The volume is troublesome to me. And this is where I go back, and I have no team throwing the ball less this year in pass attempts than the Chicago Bears at about 26 pass attempts per game. I love DJ Moore. If you've listened to the show for a long time, you know I have defended him for the last 2 years in Carolina as a player that was severely underrated both in real life and in fantasy relative to what people thought about him. My concern is going to be if volume matters. And if the Bears are throwing less than 30 times a game, it's going to be very difficult for multiple players to have high level success. And it's going to be difficult for one player to play up to top 15 level. So while I believe that DJ Moore is a top 20 wide receiver in the National Football League, I'm not drafting him as a top 20 fantasy wide receiver because I just don't see the volume coming there. And, you know, right now he's going as the wide receiver 22, which again, would normally I would not, on the surface of his talent levels, not something I would say is crazy. But when you dive into the numbers and you dive into what this offense is going to be, unless you expect this offense to throw the ball, not just a little more, but a lot more than they did. Like a percentage change that we don't typically see year over year more, that I don't think is you're going to like DJ more where he's going to be drafted. And that's where my concern is, as much as I love the real life player.
Why do you hate Chris Olave and Derek Carr so much?
So the Chris Olave one is the one of the other ones that I struggled with, in the sense that love the talent, love the player, like the situation. And somebody that I've been higher on, even despite this apparent Achilles flare-up that we learned about last week. However, if Michael Thomas comes back and plays a significant number of games, which is a huge if, like Michael Thomas feels like this mythical creature at this point. Like, we all remember Michael Thomas, but like it feels like he's like hasn't played in forever. It feels like we're having like the rumors of like Michael Thomas is going to be back and he's not going to be back and he's on the field and he's not on the field. But if he is back, I think the biggest thing that Chris Olave benefited from last year was that it's like him, Rashid Shaheed, Traquan Smith, and like there weren't a lot of options for, at that time, you know, Andy Dalton to go to. If Michael Thomas is back, and look, he's not going to be putting up the Michael Thomas target share catches that he did a few years ago. That player's probably gone. Injuries have probably robbed him of that opportunity, and it's a very different team and a very different and a semi-different coaching staff since that point. But he's going to command some significant targets. It's going to be a legitimate option for Derek Carr that didn't exist for the quarterbacks in New Orleans last year. So my concern is going to be with the addition of Michael Thomas, they've added a couple different tight ends to this group, or re-signed a couple tight ends and added in Foster Moreau. And we know Derek Carr likes to throw to the tight ends, that there just might not be the target share that we saw last year for Chris Olave this year, where he ends up putting up very similar numbers from last year and is probably more productive on a per target basis, but doesn't take that statistical year to jump because there's going to be other legitimate options there. That is the concern that I have.
The last couple names that we have to discuss here at 29, Alan Lazard, 28, Keenan Allen, 27, Chris Godwin, and 26, Terry McLaurin. That is where the list has to stop for today here on the show before we get into the top 25 tomorrow. So, Jamie, if you want to spend a minute or two talking about each one of these guys here as we are inside the top 30.
Yeah, I want to talk about Alan Lazard a little bit. I feel like he is completely going overlooked right now. And he might be a guy we sneak into our sleeper show as well, going as the wide receiver 52. I know Garrett Wilson is there. Garrett Wilson's great.
He is there.
And he's really good football player. Very good. Yeah. Can you confirm?
Confirm. Okay. Garrett Wilson, good. Yes.
But is there anybody on the team that Aaron Rodgers is going to be more comfortable with right off the bat than Alan Lazard?
Also, to think that just because Garrett Wilson is good, that other wide receivers
can't be good.
And it's just not how football works. And yeah, the comfort level is going to exist there early. Now, there are some indications that Aaron has really enjoyed throwing with Garrett, and they are starting to develop that rapport relatively quickly.
Sure.
But you're always going to trust the people that you've worked with in the past, right? And so for me, I think in the early part of the season, you might see him kind of force some stuff to Lazard out of just comfortability, knowing that, like, if I make this throw, Allen can make this catch.
Yes. And I think there's also the ability, again, to use both guys. I mean, you even saw last year, when Christian Watson emerged late in the season last year, Alan Lazard was still fantasy relevant. So he's somebody that I've actually gotten a ton of shares of as well. I feel like he's going really undervalued in a pass happy offense. Keenan Allen, I think this is the lowest I've ever ranked Keenan Allen.
Does it hurt? And does it make you feel bad that you've rated Keenan Allen this low?
It does. But there are a lot of mouths to feed. Somehow even more mouths to feed than there were the last couple of years in L.A. Age, injury, some other concerns that pop up, and some other, quite frankly, just some young guys that have just moved past. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even so much that I feel demonstratively different about him than I do some of the guys maybe 5 or 10 spots higher. I just feel like those younger guys have kind of passed him in terms of fantasy production. And so to me, I like him, somebody that I won't shun you if you take him at his ADP, which is 17. I don't think that's crazy, but just one of those guns where there's a little bit too many concerns for me, and I'm not sure there's the same level of upside to compensate for that as there was a few years ago. Chris Godwin, love a lot. I think this is going to be – I wish I could put him higher, and it's the quarterback situation.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it probably pains you to have Chris Godwin this low, but when Kyle Trask and or Baker Mayfield's throwing him the football –
And that's the problem. And I think, look, another year
maybe
removed
Wentz.
From the ACC.
Maybe Carson Wentz throwing him the football.
Yeah, this is not exactly inspiring confidence in me, Chris. Another year removed from the ACL injury is a big positive, and all the reports coming out of Bucs camp are that he feels great, but the downgraded quarterback is massive.
You don't say. It's something that we can't ignore. Going from Tom Brady to Kyle Trask and Baker Mayfield,
hot
a bit
take.
Of a downgrade? Wow.
Takes on takes, Chris. I think they've taken a bit of a downgrade at the quarterback position this
year. That's bold of you to say that on a Tuesday, but here you are.
And Terry McLaurin. Terry's Terry. Like him a lot. Ton of talent, but we got to see what Sam Howell is as a passer. And see, you know, again, how he distributes the targets between him and emerging Jahan Dotson, Curtis Samuel, Antonio Gibson. We heard there's been some rumblings Kareem Hunt might make his way to Washington to reunite with Eric Bieniemy in that offense. So there are a lot of different elements of that. Like, I love Terry McLaurin a lot. Again, QB situation, if it was different, he'd be significantly higher, but I'm comfortable taking him in this range as a high-end wide receiver 3 or as a guy that you're playing in your flex spot on a weekly basis.
There you have it. Wide receivers 64 through 26 here on the show. Two-thirds of wide receiver week rankings in the books. We've got one more show with the rankings. We've got wide receivers 25 through 1 tomorrow, and then our sleeper show. So we'll go back through the rankings, talk about some players that we haven't done deep dives on, sleepers that we want to highlight. And so you've got that to look forward to on Thursday. So one more full ranking show this week. That's tomorrow, wide receivers 25 through 1. And then we've got the sleeper show on Thursday. We would love it if you rate, review, subscribe to the podcast wherever you are getting your podcast. You can also catch this show on YouTube Music. You can listen to the show in the app. You can also see the video version of the show in there as well. Speaking of the video version of the show, YouTube, the Draft Network on YouTube. You've got Prospects and Props. You've got TDN Daily. A lot of fun stuff coming throughout the summer over there as well. So you're going to want to subscribe. Hit the thumbs up and the notification bell on this video so you know every time one of these episodes drops. We would greatly appreciate it. That's going to do it for us on this edition of the show. We've got the top 25 wide receivers tomorrow. So come on back and see us again then. In the meantime, have a good one.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.